Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lent draws out various themes that many times are beneath the surface of life. One that has always been especially troubling is shame. People in small towns have a hard time with this kind of a topic compared to those in the big city life where you can hide away in the numbers. Not so much here. Plenty of things also, as we know, get buried away in families, which tends to create many heartaches over the years. In an age where image seems to matter more than anything else to people, we even see many going on and trying to have two different lives. One that they create online, their persona and the way they want to act, and then a total another kind of person for everyday life. If we could sum it up, shame is that feeling from something dishonorable or improper done before others. No wonder plenty of shameful people, though, we know, came to Jesus seeking his mercy. This was a shocker to the disciples, all the different kinds of people who came to him, but not to the God who came to save sinners. Of course, during Lent, we also have to consider another kind of shame that we certainly don't consider much at all. It has nothing to do with our image, how we stand before people, what people think about us, but more with God and his word. Jesus warned everyone in our gospel reading today not to be ashamed of me and my words as he preached the cross. And likewise, during the Old Testament, we also know that being ashamed of God came from suffering what he said. And he said a lot of things. For instance, David would be king, but he would feel the shame of persecution by Saul for many years before that king would become crowned. Noah would build a giant ark, but he had to wait in shame for many years before even a single drop of water blot the flood. So too, Abraham was the father of faith, we say, and this is because his future was never in his hands. Not a single part of Abraham's life was really in his hands at all. God promises to carry any through the crosses of life, so none needs to be ashamed of him and of his word, because he's not ashamed of us. And so Abram, you have to understand, had already found a way to remove the cross he had to face in his life. By the time he reached the ripe age of 99, 24 years had passed since God called Abram, the promised future of offspring, as being as numerable as the stars of heaven, was off to a kind of rough start, you could say. He couldn't even have one kid, let alone as numerable as the stars in heaven. He suffered that for 24 years. God's word brought him shame. And so Abraham and Sarai turned to their own resourcefulness to get comfort. It led to Abram, maybe you remember the story, it led to Abram sleeping with Hagar, the servant girl, to Sarah, which brought forth the birth of Ishmael. He did get a son, it just wasn't from his wife. And after God appears to renew his promise that we hear today, the 99-year-old Abram had a response. The verse following our reading today, the next verse, says this. Abraham says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac." So deeply convicted was Abraham to Ishmael. So much did he love that son that he was trying to put him into God's plan, and God says, no, it's not going to happen that way. And so we try to cut corners too, don't we? Like Abraham. Our demands on life tend to go off in different directions from trusting what God says, especially when we suffer. Abram did this, his own kind of thing against God, and Peter boldly did his thing against Jesus and tried to rebuke God's son, and we have our solutions on how to make what God promises for us better. The downside to all of this is a path saturated in fearful anxiety, trying to manage everything about life as if we were God. And that's why one of the fundamental things we face today in much of people's lives, they say, is anxiety. And here's the reason. Such desire from within that we have proves you don't trust God as much as we think we say we do. And maybe we're more ashamed of what he says than what we want to admit. And yet, when God comes to Abram, as you hear today, he was not ashamed to speak better promises, was he? I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Of course, you know now, Abram was far from blameless as he fell on his face before God, but God had better promises to be received by faith that would not put Abram to shame. And that's the only way you can have God's word, is to believe it. Not to do, but to believe. And that's called repentance. His name would be changed to Abraham, which meant the father of many. And Sarai would become Sarah, since this multitude of peoples began with her as the mother of just one, Isaac. In their old age, God was going to make a miracle, proving his promise to Abraham and removing the disgrace of his word at his time and in his way. In their old age, we have to remember, they had nothing to offer. But God had something to give. More essential, the everlasting covenant God made exceeded the glory of Isaac. It was far more than just something of Abraham's descendants. It would also come to be, finally, in the flesh, God's son, the promised Savior. When we also come to worship, God Almighty calls us to be blameless when you step in this place. And before him, we know this is not so. His word would be alone our promised blessing, a word that many ways we have ignored or tried to change for our standards. And so confessing our sins is what we do. And it's not merely a Lent kind of thing like people think in our culture, but the life of a Christian. Because God our Father wants to hear us for one purpose, to bring forgiveness to the voice of his Son. And so absolution, you heard today, forgiveness, delivers this promise and allows us to receive God's word, trusting how it's good for our life and also our salvation. Luther tells us, for we're not created like oxen and donkeys. We were created for eternity. Therefore, when God speaks with us to give a promise, he's not speaking with us for the sake of temporal things only. No, he wants to preserve our soul from destruction and to grant us eternal life. That's a pretty big thing then God has in his plans. We're just trying to get through a day or through a week. God has more important things for you, to save your soul. You remember what Jesus said, hey, what if it profits you to get everything you want in your life? What if it gets you to have all these things that would make you glorious, and yet you lose your soul? Keep running after those dreams, but don't miss Jesus. And this is why the everlasting covenant from God is now the new covenant, right? Established by Christ at the Lord's Supper. where the fruitfulness of his sacrifice still pours out forgiveness. That's the cross. I don't know where Jesus died 2,000 years ago and you weren't there. It means nothing outside of what he brings today of his true body and blood in bread and wine. Other than that, it's a historical event 2,000 years ago. I believe what the apostles said of it, but I know Jesus brings forgiveness in his sacrifice for me and for you once again through his means of grace, his promise, a promise in his word. And so God keeps his promises, doesn't he, in Christ, since Jesus is not ashamed of the cross. Jesus is more than what Abraham could have ever imagined from his descendants. He did walk blameless before his Father in heaven, fulfilling the law and declaring himself to be God's promise made flesh for all people. Where we have weak faith and many doubts, Jesus is bold to say, if anyone would come after him, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Christ removed our shame by his suffering and death, proving God shows his love for us and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And so, frankly, as much as people get embarrassed when they do something really stupid or sad as a sinner, what do you expect? Sinners, what? Sin. I don't know. Think of what you want about a person, but Jesus has called it a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that I seek to live in sin, but the shame of it all has been covered by who? By his suffering and death. And so his resurrection guarantees the shame of sin, death, and the devil will not stand against God and his word. This is very important to understand in our culture who wants to have that image, this look right, right? There's going to be people in heaven who our culture has indeed looked at an image because they've killed people and done horrible things, but they've repented. And guess what? They're glorious to God in heaven. They'll be with them, with Jesus, because they trust his word, even if their life is locked up in prison, which they should be. But Jesus' word does not forget them, and they just believe it, and they receive it. And so Christ carries any through the crosses of life. By baptism into his name, God changed your name to be blessed before him, joining you to the multitude of the saints who have gone before us. And suffering God and his word is now upholding it before the crucified Jesus. For he is the hope that does not put us to shame. I expect our culture to bring out shame against Christians. What I don't expect is for us as Christians to be ashamed of Jesus because he wasn't ashamed of what his word came to do. Save us. This everlasting covenant is beyond any earthly descendants of Abraham, but for all nations and people who believe God is for us in Christ. And so Abraham, at an old age of 99, had to consider God's unbelievable promise of a son from Sarah. And he wouldn't see it for at least about a year. But that child will be born when Abraham would be 100 years old. It's also worth considering how Billy Graham last week died. And he was how old? 99. This famous Christian evangelist shared the gospel far and wide, but here's the thing. His future came from the same word of grace God gave him. It wasn't because he saved so many people that God is going to save him. God saved Billy Graham because of the grace that was given to him long before he was speaking some saving word to other people. The promises of God fulfilled in Jesus is why we stand upon him for life and salvation. And so God promises to carry any through the crosses of life, and in today they're going to be there. But carrying these crosses means none needs to be ashamed of him, of God and his word. Because he, during this Lenten season, God proves he is not ashamed of us. Because Jesus dies and risen from the dead, you are glorious to him, and we believe this promise and live in that. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting, where there is no shame, only great joy and celebration for the one who suffered and died for sinners. Amen.